Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Anila nijone go shabothya, nijone go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Ele ai yo bi ala
A round dance song from Algin Scabby Robe off his Canyon Records CD entitled Along the Way, Round Dance Songs. The name of the song was Sundown. In many of our indigenous nations, sundown time is a special moment to offer a prayer to the Great Spirit, a time to express our gratitude to the Great Mystery and thank all of our relations, Kidon Wantakwasin, the animals and plants, birds, fish and marine life, the tree nations, the waters, the wind, our family and clan, and of course, our Mother Earth. Ashwari, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Yad Kiddushi Native Center had the privilege to participate at a wonderful National Youth Activist Conference entitled NCOR, which stands for National Conference on Organized Resistance. NCOR is an annual event that brings together activists from a variety of issues, struggles, ideologies, and backgrounds for a weekend of learning and reflecting on the state of progressive movements occurring locally, nationally, and worldwide. Through diverse workshops, panel discussions, skill shares, tabling, and the creation of an open space, NCOR seeks to promote organized action amongst participants against injustices and inequalities that we confront in our daily lives and in the world. NCOR is held on the main campus of American University in Washington, D.C. Yad Kiddushi Native Center was honored to be a part of NCOR 2006, networking with many fine groups and individuals committed to working for a better world. NCOR folks share Yad Kiddushi Native Center's concern for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Meeting other serious peace, social, economic, and environmental justice activists from across the country is very empowering. What I especially appreciated is the fact that the majority of NCOR participants are youth activists. It gives me great comfort to see the dedication of many young people who fight globalization and carry on the struggles against many injustices in the world. In today's program, we shall hear from two fellow participants I met at NCOR. The first guest is an African-American brother, T. T is a member of the Institute of Pamela, a not-for-profit multiracial and multilingual educational institute. T is also co-organizer of the International Conference, A World Beyond Capitalism. We both believe in the importance of building a worldwide multiracial global justice movement based on universal equality and inclusion of all peoples. The second guest in today's program is Mr. John O'Collins. John is an attorney who devotes much of his time to monitoring energy issues affecting world affairs, such as the topic of peak oil. Energy and environment issues are a central concern of Yad Kodesh NATO Center, especially in view of the fact that much of the world's energy resources are exploited from and greatly impact indigenous peoples' territories. The NCORE conference, organized and hosted by students and youth, is trying very hard to expand the cultural diversity of the progressive movement. This is an important concern of Yad Kodesh NATO Center. In the past, many conferences and organizations have been hosted by predominantly Euro-American middle to upper class white people. People of color, poor white Americans, and others of diverse backgrounds, races, and cultures have often been excluded from full and equal participation in conferences and events. Often minorities are invited after the conference theme and agenda have been decided without input or perspectives of people of color. In this year's NCORE gathering, this subject was the title of the workshop hosted by T, today's program's first guest. The title of the workshop was The Crisis of Holding Resistance Events at Culturally and Racially Alienating Institutions. Before we listen to T, let me read his workshop description from NCORE's program listing. The Crisis of Holding Resistance Events at Culturally and Racially Alienating Institutions. In this course, we will cover three elements. First, we will briefly cover how institutions, universities, government buildings, corporate halls, etc., in the USA have always been and continue to increasingly be a very racially alienating venue that only discourages lack of participation in resistance events for minorities and marginalized groups. Second, we will discuss how the traditional method of requesting proposals promotes discrimination from its racist, non-multilingual start of the proposal acceptance process until the final class's contact information needed judgment is made. Third, we will discuss the various groups that have successfully used free-of-charge public lands and campgrounds to hold their non-proposal needs events, gatherings in tent cities, and discovered an increase in minority group and marginalized communities' participation. And fourth, we will cover some of the most effective methods used to host resistance organizing events at an outdoor venue with or without pre-approval from the decaying pillars of the empire who may request to harass your group for it, unquote. I would like to now welcome T to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hello, my name is T. I'm coming from the West Coast. I'm here at the NCORE to teach a workshop called The Crisis of Holding Resistance Events and Conferences at Institutions of the Empire, Racially Alienating Institutions of the Empire.
I, as a Native American, and you, as an African-American brother, people of color, are here at a gathering that is still, without being disrespectful but truthful, largely white people. How do you deal with the fact that racism and white supremacy and class privilege is still a major problem for people of color working with primarily European American people?
Well, first, I'd like to say I think everybody at NCORE has done a great job. However, they're very open to trying to change things and welcome minorities. I'm very happy that they give me the opportunity to speak about these issues and try to suggest different ways to bring more minorities here, you know? Yeah, make it multilingual and have rail access. And I just want to also say, the way that I met Oness is he was very courageous and spoke up for in our last workshop, which is Profit Over Water, you know? He told the people to make sure to mention the indigenous rights rather than the water policy rights, the European rights. So I want to thank Oness for speaking up. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for that. Would you please explain to our worldwide audience more about the topic that you will be speaking on, this whole subject matter of working with institutions?
The course is called The Crisis of Holding Resistance Events and Conferences at Racially, culturally and politically alienating institutions of the empire instead of peacefully seizing the land that rightfully belongs to the people. And I'm one of the World Beyond Capitalism Conference organizers, and what we were saying is, first of all, there should be no registration fee, because the registration fee is one of the things that causes people not to come to these conferences, particularly minorities, people on native reservations, Latinos, immigrant farmers.
Poor white people too.
Yes.
In Appalachia.
Yes, people in trailer parks as well.
Yes.
What I'm saying to the conference here is to begin having it on public lands, you know? So that way, you can provide food for people, you can offer the people free housing, you can offer caravans to help bring people to the conferences. And I know this type of thing works, because I've seen it work at the Rainbow Gathering, and they've been doing it for 30 years, and they bring 10,000 people to the event, and that's all free of charge.
You mentioned earlier that you are involved with this World Beyond Capitalism gathering or conference. Would you please explain a little bit more about this upcoming gathering, where it will be, what are some of the topics, and just general background, please?
Absolutely. I appreciate you asking. The World Beyond Capitalism will be the second annual World Beyond Capitalism Conference. It's an annual international multiracial alliance building peace conference. Keynote speaker will be Dr. Jawaya, Splitting the Sky. Also, another keynote speaker will be Lena Posner from Tent State University Movement. The Tent State University Movement has been called their top 10 activism movements in the United States by Mother Jones Magazine. And we have many other speakers and workshops, and we just like to invite everybody to submit proposals or just to show up. You don't have to submit a proposal to teach a workshop. Just come, and it's free housing. All the food is free. It will be in Portland, Oregon. The website is www.aworldbeyondcapitalism.org, or our mirror website is www.commonunitypeaceconference.org. And for those who don't have internet access, the telephone number is area code 503-727-2625, and that's 24 hours, 7 days a week you can contact us. And we definitely and strongly encourage minorities, indigenous people, people of all social classes, you're welcome. No one will be turned away. It's also free grassroots exhibitions for those who want to come and sell their wares in order to have money for transportation to get there, because we realize that's a significant need.
Will there be camping sites available for people, or housing? How is that going to work?
Yes, camping is 100% free of charge. It's on a campsite, and there is also wheelchair access. We ask people to please do not wear perfumes, because people with multiple chemical sensitivities and environmental illnesses, to be respectful of them. Camping is available. Bring your tent. If you don't have a tent, it's going to be in August, so it should be pretty warm. There's going to be a lot of tarps to look out for people, and a lot of people are going to be bringing food, and we just ask everybody to come. And you can come on the land August 25th after 4 p.m. The conference begins August 26th and ends August 28th.
I wanted to ask you briefly, quickly, about NCORE here, something that I'm a little bothered by, and that is, as a Native American person, forests are sacred to us in trees, and I know we are here in the belly of the beast in what's now called Washington, D.C., the traditional homeland of the Piscataqua people, by the way. Chief Billy Tyack, for example, the representative of that nation. And I mention that because, again, as an Indian people, we always acknowledge whose homeland we are on out of respect. But the question that I want you to comment on is, how do we educate, inform, and motivate people without using so much paper? There's a lot of very fine people with the information tables, but there's thousands and thousands of pages of paper here, and I'm very saddened by that. I purposely did not bring any paper about Yat Kiddushi, because I'm making a commitment not to use any more wood if possible. But this is really very troubling to me, and it's an example of, for example, why I think more people of color need to be involved with these organizations, even in the planning stage, because, again, I don't think people understand that if we're going to have Indian people come, we can't act the way we are with using so much paper, for example. Do you have any comment on this?
Absolutely, I have a comment. One of the reasons why I feel so strongly about presenting this course is because there's being too much money spent on unrecyclable, glossy paper, full color, continuously at these conferences. That money could be spent to make multilingual access to minorities. That money could be used for Braille access. That money could be used to get people who can't afford to come to these conferences to these conferences. Also at the Rainbow Gathering, what I noticed, instead of placing all these printed items on regular paper, most of which is unrecyclable, what they could do is place it on newsprint paper, 100% recyclable and post-consumer newsprint paper. Not only is this less expensive for the conference, but it's also a lot more environmentally friendly. So yeah, I feel exactly what you're saying about too much paper, and I hope that they definitely cut down. Matter of fact, the alternative conference map that I have is printed on 100% post-consumer recycled paper that is chlorine-free. And it states that at the bottom of the page, because that's a significant concern, and people need to make that more of an issue.
I want to thank you for your friendship and for sharing some of your thoughts here on Wolf Mountain Native Radio, Radio for Peace International. Thank you.
music from singer-songwriter Leah Rose, who performed at the 2006 National Conference on Organized Resistance, NCORE, gathering. The name of the song was Awake. To me, this song urges people to wake up to the truth of a long history of colonialism and to wake up to the many injustices that are still happening now in the 21st century we now call globalization. That sentiment is a good characterization of the special National Youth Summit, NCORE, which annually brings youth activists from across the country together to dialogue in order to envision and build the global justice movement. Yad Kiddushi Native Center was honored to be an invited speaker, where we presented a session entitled Communications for Community Organizing. The session focused on teaching media skills to youth activists. My training session covers investigative reporting, designing media campaigns, press kits, organizing press conferences, news layout, broadcast production, and networking with journalists. This workshop was just one of a variety of wonderful topics presented at NCORE 2006 at American University in Washington, D.C. Another important subject workshop session at NCORE focused on the subject of international oil issues, often referred to as peak oil. Peak oil is a term now widely heard in discussions about energy issues. Geologists, energy analysts, oil company executives, environmentalists, politicians, and even financial managers now talk about the so-called energy crisis and the future of oil dependency and declining oil reserves. Energy issues are, of course, a great concern to Yad Kiddushi Native Center. As we said earlier in today's program introduction, much of the world's energy resources are exploited from and greatly impact indigenous peoples' territories. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, many of our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices programs have focused on the cultural, social, economic, and environmental impacts oil development has been responsible for all over the world to indigenous peoples. At this NCORE Peak Oil Activism session, I was invited by the host presenters to speak about how multinational energy companies with supportive governments are ripping Mother Earth and desecrating indigenous sacred lands and waters throughout the world from the insane greed of oil development. Another commentator in the Peak Oil session was Mr. John O'Collins, an attorney who devotes much of his time to monitoring energy issues affecting world affairs, such as the topic of peak oil. Following the workshop, I invited Mr. O'Collins to share his thoughts on Wolf Mountain Radio. I would now like to welcome today's program second guest, attorney and energy watcher, Mr. John O'Collins, to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hello, I'm Phil O'Collins. I went to the peak oil and sustainability workshop together with you, and we heard about the fact that the Earth's production of oil and natural gas is going to reach a peak. That is the highest rates of production ever in a few years if it hasn't already, and that it's going to go down from there even though people continue to want more and more of it. That's going to result in shortages, and we're going to have to adjust to that. We discussed some of the ways that could happen from various perspectives, whether we're going to have people sharing or whether there's people going to be trying to force people out, not just out of their jobs, but out of their lives, basically, if food production cannot keep up, because oil and natural gas are actually used for fuel for cars, but they're also used for fuel for tractors. They're also used for making fertilizers and pesticides to help us to raise those crops, and a lot of the seeds have been specialized through seed companies to be used with fertilizers. We may not have the fertilizers. We may need to go back to different crops, or we may face shortages in the future in a number of areas. For example, with food, you'd have also the fact that we need to package and store those foods. We're now using more energy-intensive ways, such as freezing and freeze-drying things with artificial means of doing that, so that when the peak oil hits, there's been some people say that we might have a die-off of people. Because we'll have not enough fuel to do the things the way we've been doing them in the past. We've basically been giving an inheritance. We're spending the inheritance, and then we're trying to ask for more, but there isn't any more. We sort of squandered it. I also went to another conference on organizing around the energy issues for how people can make permaculture, be able to go back to some of the ways, such as what the Indians had before the white people got here, and other peoples as well, of course. All colors are here now. So that we could have a sustainable development, a sustainable world. Whether that's going to be possible, we don't know, because right now in the short term, while oil is running out, the prices get higher, and the people that profit from it would rather that we remain dependent, and they don't want to tell us that it's running out.
What is it that made you personally interested in this subject of energy and natural resources?
Well, I've always been into bicycling to get around. I just like to do that just for personally enjoy the activity. But I know it uses less energy, and so sometimes I would joke to people about that. But obviously it's serious. You know, when I say I rode my motorcycle, I say I am the motor. So, you know, people have actually power within their bodies, and we have to remember that as well. But I read a book by Kenneth DeFays. He's a geologist at Princeton University. His father was an oil well driller. He himself went to the Colorado School of Mines. He worked for Shell Oil Company with Dr. Hubbard. And he wrote a book called Hubbard's Peak. Now, in 1956, Hubbard predicted that U.S. oil production would peak in 1970 based on the fact that past oil discoveries had peaked and there was a lag between the discoveries and the time that the oil wells are put into production and maximize their production, then start to go downhill. And he turned out to be correct, although he was ridiculed at the time that he made the production. What Kenneth DeFays did, he's now at Princeton as a professor, he predicted that world oil production would peak possibly at the end of 2005. We won't know about that until later, though, because we'll see the statistics all come in later. And some people will always say, well, there's another place we can look. Some people even say global warming will be great because then we'll melt the ice off of the Arctic and off of the Greenland and off of South Antarctica, and then we'll be able to look under there. But, of course, a lot of places will be underwater by the time that happens. So we are facing a problem. And Kenneth DeFays is probably one of the biggest books. It's called Hubbard's Peak.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. I hope you were talking about global melting of the Arctic and Antarctic, because, of course, especially in the Arctic, that's the homeland of many second polar indigenous peoples who are very close to my heart. You have been listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices.
You were lost and got lucky, came upon the shore, found you a conquering America. You spoke of peace, waged a war, while you were conquering America. There was land to take and people to kill, while you were conquering America. Serve yourself, did God's will, while you were conquering America. The ghost of Columbus haunts this world, you're still conquering America. The meek won't survive, inherit the earth, cause you're still conquering America. Submit and be great, while you were conquering America. Lead the soldiers and junkers, prisoners and slaves, while you were conquering America. Against the wall, you're still conquering America. We're sick and tired, hungry and poor, but you're still conquering America. You're on the very ground that feeds your own babies. Still conquering America. Your sons and your daughters, they never sing your praises, while you're conquering America. America, America, America. I see your eyes, see the distant shore, while you're conquering America. Taking rockets to the moon, trying to find a new world.
You're still conquering America. America. Columbus cost this world. You're still conquering America. You're still conquering America. You're still conquering America.
Music from singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman from her new CD entitled Where You Live. The name of the song is America. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yadkinishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I'm here at the 2006 National Conference on Organized Resistance, NCORE, gathering. Youth activists from across the country are here for a weekend of networking and solidarity in support of the global justice movement. Earlier in today's program, we featured a song from singer-songwriter Leah Rose, who performed her special music last night here at NCORE. We now have the pleasure to listen to a conversation I had with her at NCORE. Please welcome Leah Rose to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Leah Rose. I'm from San Francisco, and I came all the way out to D.C. for the National Conference for Organized Resistance. And I think it's absolutely incredible and inspiring to see so many people, such an incredible crowd, so much energy here, people that are dedicated to making change in the world and doing their part to make this world a little bit better for everybody.
To ask you, as a young person, now in the 21st century, you all are kind of living under different situations and conditions that I grew up in, and we're now facing real serious global environmental issues, deforestation, desertification, global warming, climate change, the poisoning and pollution of sacred waters, the oceans and the rivers, loss of biodiversity, not to mention a lot of what I call cultural breakdown. Do you have hope for the future? What do you feel as a young person who is living in this situation, growing up now in the 21st century, the new millennium?
All right, well, that's a very, very difficult but a really important question, and I feel like there's a lot of hope, and I do know that people care. I know that people of all ages, but especially the young people, do care, and they are making a difference, and they're finding really creative ways to resist the dominant culture that's trying to, you know, just take over the world and sell everything. I think that there's a lot of people that get caught up in trying to just survive, and we have to form coalitions and really work together to support each other and create alternatives to the dominant paradigm in order to be able to sustain each other and really do the important work that's necessary to keep this planet going.
Leah, my next question is about cultural diversity and the global justice movement. I am very appreciative of the range of workshop topics and informational exhibits here. I congratulate all the participants who have come to network and strengthen the global youth justice movement, especially the fact that most of the folks here are young activists such as yourself. One of the concerns I do have, however, is the fact that there are still so few youth of color here compared to the majority of folks who are from the so-called white dominant society. This is the ninth year NCORE has had an annual conference located in a predominantly African-American area of Washington, D.C. I would have thought there would be more black youth here, for example. I've only met two other Native Americans here. The number of Hispanic Latin participants, as well as youth of Asian or Middle East heritage, seems to be also very low. How can the youth global justice movement become more culturally and racially diverse? I do appreciate NCORE having a session on issues of white privilege. I do think most of the young activists here at NCORE are open to including more people of color. What are your thoughts?
Another very important question, and yeah, it is disturbing to see a lack of representation across the board, and I think that a lot of it has to do with privilege. Who has the privilege to be able to, you know, leave work for a few days and or leave their town and go and experience a conference like this? I've been to quite a few of the workshops and did notice that on some of the panels it was, you know, all people of color, and that I felt was a very, very important move forward for this type of thing. And I think the best thing we can do is to to look around and bridge gaps and recognize that knowledge and information and is everywhere, and not get caught up in thinking that any one person has the right answer, but really valuing the diversity of experience and knowing that everyone has something to say. And
I've had the honor and privilege to travel to a number of international, national, intertribal conferences, gatherings, protests, and I've seen in a lot of cases where we so-called adults really just play token attitude towards young people. We say we have a youth caucus, but really have not taken youth seriously. And about 5 years ago, I took it upon myself to try to attend more gatherings and events that are organized and focused and run by youth such as this. And I'm learning a great deal whenever I go, and hopefully I'm a little bit of a opportunity as an older person to give some experiences myself. How do you see the older generation paying more attention to the youth? Is that something that's going to happen, or just going to have to wait a while before your voice, the voice of youth, are heard more widely and more seriously?
I think it's really important what you're doing, and I really appreciate that. I think that one of the ways that the youth get heard are through their parents, and I've been lucky enough to have incredibly supportive parents, and some of my friends have as well. I also know a lot of people that don't get any support from their parents. So I think you having a program that gives a voice to youth at times, I think it's really important, and hopefully a wide audience will be able to hear these voices.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedetshi Native Center. Yat Kedetshi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedetshi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kedetshi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kedetshi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kedetshi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedetshi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedetshi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedetshi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedetshi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedetshi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedetshi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedetshi's Kinonwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedetshi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat-Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat-Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat-Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Intertribal Power Music from the youth drum The Tribe off their Kenyan record CD entitled Best of Both Worlds, World 1. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. I want to remind our listeners that Yad Kiddushin Native Center's website links page lists a number of very special organizations and their websites, which provide news and information about important issues and events concerning our environment, indigenous peoples, peace, and cultural, social, economic justice, as well as ways in which people can become active in working for a better world. Our Yad Kiddushin Native Center website is www.yatkitishee.org. And as always, we welcome your comments, questions, and concerns. You can email us at yatkiddushi@earthlink.net. We shall conclude today's program with a beautiful flute song from Robert Tree Cody and Hovaya Edwards off their Kenyan record CD entitled Reflections. The name of the song is Buffalo Prayer Song. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawha Wantakusin, to all of our relations.
Yeah.
Clark was saying. You are listening to the American Indian Movement's Honoring Song. This is Wolf Mountain Press, a documentary program focusing on Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Wolf Mountain Press will present the situations facing Indian peoples throughout the world with Native music, poetry, news, and Indian case histories in the struggle to protect Mother Earth and the sacred ways of life of Native peoples.